Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Hey, welcome back. Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Hope you had a good weekend. Mariners splitting with Kansas City. They split the four-game series. They split the doubleheader yesterday. And there is a ton to talk about with this podcast. Ryan Roland-Smith is going to help me do it. We break down everything. What was a lot of baseball yesterday. We'll talk about the series against the Royals. We'll talk about the trade. Yonder Alonso, Mariners adding an all-star to the mix. He'll be with the team in Oakland. We'll talk about the Phelps injury. We'll talk about the schedule coming up, although we'll do more of the breakdown in specifics with Oakland and the podcast tomorrow and then the homestand coming up. But Ryan Roland-Smith is here to break down a lot of what happened yesterday. So we're going to get into that in just a few moments. First, I want to mention something that's time-sensitive. Starting at 9 a.m. today, 9 a.m. Monday, $7 view-level seats for August 15th against Baltimore, a celebration of James Paxton and seven wins in a row. You don't want to miss that. So Monday morning, 9 a.m., August 15th against Baltimore, $7 select view level seats available for that ball game. So you do not want to miss that. Need more info, just go to Mariners.com. This is going to be a fun homestand, and again, we'll talk about it more coming up in the podcast tomorrow. But coming up on the end of this, our conversation, you're going to hear the week that was, but let's dive into it, and let's start with the first ball game yesterday.
Mariners, a tough matchup to start. Danny Duffy, one of the best there is, especially from the left side. He is just brutal on lefties. But the Mariners, a great start to the first game as they played long ball in this one.
Swing and a fly ball, well hit into the gap in right center field. Kane going back to the warning track, looking up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball, almost into the fountains. An opposite field, two-run home run. Danny Valencia with his 13th home run of the season. Holy smokes, the Mariners have an early 2-0 lead here in the top of the first inning.
Even more impressive than that, Kyle Seager at the dish. Seager, lefty facing Duffy. Duffy, lefties are batting under 190 against him coming in with exactly one home run, exactly one double, two extra base hits on the season coming in. Seager would change that.
Here's the stretch and the pitch. Swung on, well hit ball deep to right field. On the run, Bonifacio looking up, down into the corner. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager jumping on the first pitch to him from Danny Duffy has just blasted his 16th home run of the season. And it's now the Mariners 3, Kansas City nothing here in the top of the first.
And Marco Gonzalez making his Mariners debut. It was a strong start.
Gonzalez ready. The windup and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss for strike three. Marco Gonzalez striking out Eric Hosmer, and that will retire the side. A couple of strikeouts for Gonzalez here in his first inning as a Mariners starter. How about that?
Then Nelson Cruz, he landed a huge blow.
The pitch on the way, swing and a high fly ball deep into the alley in left center field. Back she goes, going and going. It is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Nelson Cruz with a three-run home run here in the top half of the second. It's now the Mariners 7 and Kansas City nothing for Nelson Cruz, his 23rd home run of the year.
Nelson Cruz, he had a big day. Danny Duffy had allowed 7 earned runs combined in his last 4 starts entering today. He'd been on a roll. No home runs allowed during that time. The Mariners got him for 7 runs and 3 homers in the first 2 innings. But Kansas City would start to charge back.
Ponzo's a big deep breath. His first pitch coming home. Swinging a chopper over to first base. Valencia wide of the bag. Takes it. Will now take it himself. He almost flipped to Pazos. Instead, holding that ball in his bare hand. A pounce on first base to get the out on Hosmer. But a run in. That is Whit Merrifield. The lead cut into a run closer. It's now 7-4 Mariners.
Mariners would only score one run past the second inning. It ended up being a huge run.
The 1-1. Swing, and this is shot to center. Lorenzo Cain has turned. He is saluting, and this bangs off the batter's eye in center field. Nelson Cruz just took a brick out. That was absolutely amazing. Up to the waterfalls, Nelson Cruz just strapped a scud missile to that puppy. It is long gone.
That thing was absolutely destroyed. Moustakas would hit a home run off Vincent. That's something we've seen very often this season. A two-run blast. Got the Royals within one. So hang on time. Ninth inning, Diaz on. But he would finish the deal in the ninth.
And the pitch to Cabrera. Swing and a pop-up into left field. Straight away, Ben Gamble coming in. He is there looking into the gray skies, and he makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 8-7 over the Royals here at Kauffman Stadium to win game one of the doubleheader this afternoon.
Yeah, so the Mariners take game one of the doubleheader, 8-7, great win. And then in game two of the doubleheader, Mariners, great start, a 1-0 lead.
On the way, Danny with a swing and a drive deep into the gap in right center field, and this one is going to be off the base of the wall. Heading for third, Martini's going to be waved in. Up of the ball is Cain, throws it in, cut off by Merrifield. No relay to the plate. Martin scores, standing up Danny Espinosa with a two-out RBI double to the base of the wall in right center field. And the Mariners have taken a 1-0 lead here in the top half of the second. What a shot by Espinosa.
Yeah, so the Mariners with a 1-0 lead going to the bottom of the third. Erasmo Ramirez was strong to start, but then the Royals started to play some long ball, and they never looked back.
And the 1-1 to Cabrera, swing and a drive deep to right field. Back goes Martin, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. A three-run home run by Melky Cabrera. And that thing was shot out of a cannon toward the fountains. And the Royals now lead it 4-1.
Royals a four spot in the third, four in the seventh. They win 9-1 in game two. Mariners just managed four hits. The story of game two, Jake Junis. He was brilliant. Eight innings of four-hit ball, one run, no walks, seven punch-outs on 94 pitches. Ramirez goes five, allows eight hits and five earned runs, no walks and two strikeouts. So the Mariners get the split in the doubleheader. They get the split in the series as well. Gary Hill with you alongside Ryan Roland-Smith. Ryan, there's a ton to talk about. There's a lot that happened today, both on the field and off the field. I look at these two games. Baseball is so funny because if you would have told me before the game that the Mariners would score eight runs and get seven runs on a starter, if you would have told me in the other game they would get one run and they'd only get one run in eight innings on the starter, I would have said, that's very believable. With Duffy going in game one, he's one of the best there is in the American League. And then with Junis going in game two, okay, that is a very believable scenario. The fact that they were switched, That makes it very strange. I mean, game one, they really got to Duffy, which was impressive.
They did. They got to him early. Then, you noticed him settle in. But after that first game, I was like, okay, they took care of Duffy. Now they got a chance here to take two. And it's funny, doubleheaders, they can drag on, especially when you're playing in them, especially 2 9-inning games. But when they're in a situation like this where they're a game out of the wild card, they got to half a game, you look at this and go, man, if we can win two right here, we're going to speed up the process instead of hovering like they've been hovering right outside of that wild card group, the two teams in front of them. But it was interesting, early on, I've got to give it to Danny Duffy to go as far as he did in that ball game after giving up those runs. The pass ball, he threw that pitch to strike out Cano, and it bounced off the umpire's shin guard. He had that look on his face like, man, all right, I'm done. Get me out of here. I'm done for the day. And then for him did he pitch well early on? He did not, and he gave up a ton of runs. But he settled in, so it was a good thing they got to him offensively in the middle of that against a tough pitcher early on. to set that tone. And then it looked like they just ran out of gas. There's just no momentum in that second game. So, and yeah, look, Junis pitched the game of his life today, yeah. Right? I mean, he's dotting up three different pitches. I'm like, man, is this guy, is he going to miss a spot? Especially in that, that fourth, fifth inning onwards, man. He was really good today. I mean, for him to take away, but Danny Duffy, they did all that damage early, and that was just enough.
right. Well, it's funny. I mean, I think big picture, going into this series on the road, it's tough to expect taking 3 of 4 from Kansas City. It was good to get a split. You would have loved to take 3 of 4, but that's not an easy equation against a good team like KC. I think when you look at this race now, and we'll talk about injuries more as we move through this, but I am going to be very interested to watch Kansas City closely, which we'll be doing as the Mariners in direct competition with KC, without Salvador Perez. I think that is a really big loss for this team. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you look at their offensive numbers, they're not blowing anyone out of the water by any means. And they're not, they're not winning their division. They're hovering around that mark, just like the Mariners are, just above 500. And, they're doing it with their pitching. And it's, whenever you lose a guy like Salvador Perez in the middle of that lineup, he's a team leader, he's a catcher, he's behind the plate, how he handles the pitching staff, he takes control. You can see it even when he's playing defense. Just how he's always constantly talking. You can see him in between innings. He's that guy. I've spoke to a couple of guys who've played with him, Peter Moylan, who just raves about him. Says, he's an offensive catcher, but man, he can really control what's going on behind the dish. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And, not that I was happy that he was injured, no, but at the same time, it's going to make that impact, especially when you're talking about, leadership on that team.
Yeah, I mean, already he was just one off his career high in homers. You mentioned the offensive numbers, hitting for good average, hitting for power. And he plays every day. I mean, he's a catcher that is nearly an everyday player. He's in the lineup all the time, and he's the heartbeat of that team. I mean, he feels like he is in the middle of everything they do. And if he is lost for what may be a month, it's a lot of baseball.
And I think it could go beyond the month with the injury that he's got. I think this is something that you may see him come back right before that the playoffs roll around. So they're going to lose him for quite a bit.
And now the Mariners head to Oakland for a strange two-game series before returning home. Good to get an off day coming up tomorrow, then a two-game series. And they're going to have a friend greeting him in Oakland. How about that? Yonder Alonso, the All-Star, now a member of the Seattle Mariners.
And that interesting move, and it's funny. You look at the timing of it as well, and you see Felix go down, yesterday, and obviously that's not good news. And you look at this and say, okay, what's Jerry got up his sleeve? And Yonder Alonso, an offensive player who I'm still looking at and seeing how he's gonna fit in with Danny Valencia is doing really good things right now, playing first base. And are they going to platoon those guys, or are they going to slide someone out to the outfield? It's interesting. It's going to bolster that offense, absolutely. But this is something that, judging by the comments and the word on the street that they were going after Yonder a long time ago, and it's an interesting one. And Jerry openly said that this could be a straight up rental. It could be because he's at the end of his deal at the end of this year. So it's an interesting move, but man, it just gives him even more thump in the middle of that lineup. When you watch the Mariners play against him, just the at bats he puts together and the power, and he's having a breakout year right now. So it's exciting. It was good to see it kind of snuck up on us a little bit.
He has just crushed righties this year, batting .286, 18 of his home runs against righties. I mean, he's bashed them all season. And looking on the surface, it looks like it gives Scott Servais some flexibility as well, because we've seen Valencia in the past. I mean, he's settled in at first base this season, but he's played third. He's played some outfield. Yeah. They can move him around if needed.
Yeah, and it just adds to that depth. We see the depth in the outfield too. And then when you can create that depth in the infield, to give guys a night off or give different looks, stack up, lefties against a righty. You face a righty who's got really good numbers, who is having a good year, and you run into him second, third game in a series, and all of a sudden you look at his numbers against lefties, and especially a guy like Yonder Alonso, that can do a ton of damage, in the lineup too. So it does give different looks and just keeps adding to that depth. And yeah, even too, you know, they've got a couple National League games coming up. Anytime you can start, you know, playing around that second, third, fourth time through the lineup with this, with the way, not that obviously this trade wasn't put together just to play National League games, but when you look at those games, you know, with the Braves coming up, for example, and the way the starting pitching's been going, you know, you can start to mix and match and have some impact at bats in the middle of that lineup. So it's interesting, you know, it, and hopefully this is something. Yandre Alonso, I've heard nothing but good things, threw a couple text messages out to some guys who play with him, and I've heard nothing but good things. So hopefully this is something beyond, you know, a rental at the end of this season. That would be a lot of fun to have him in the middle of that lineup.
No doubt. That'd be great. So I'm going to get your take on the two starters for the Mariners today. We saw Marco Gonzalez in a Mariners uniform for the first time. Four innings, seven hits, five earned, one walk, five strikeouts, one homer on 76 pitches. What did you see from Gonzalez today in game one?
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. And look, you always take what you see when it's someone's debut with a grain of salt, because there's so many, you know, outside factors and variables that go into it. The fact that you're making your first start, you know that he's basically, you know, he went to Gonzaga. There's that aspect of it and everything else. But, you know, what did we see today? We saw a guy who can throw three pitches for strikes and a lot of changeups. This we've heard a lot about his changeup and how good that pitch can be. But this was today, to me, more of an impact pitch throughout the entire count. He threw a lot of them. And I love the fact, I've always loved change left on left changeups. I don't understand, me being a left-handed pitcher, you're always told, hey, cannot throw a changeup to left, a changeup to lefties. And it was always really effective for me, but you always have to, you know, sort of push it to the side and say, oh, you can't throw that pitch. You have to be throwing things away from him. We saw some big strikeouts. Eric Hosmer, that changeup was such an effective pitch. He's obviously really confident in it. I just, with Marco Gonzalez, and again, this is his debut, I don't want him having that feeling he has to impress people or he has to be perfect. You could see the body language, and he'd give up a big hit. You know, the home run to leadoff hitter with the Royals, Merrifield. And you saw that his reaction. And to me, that says that he's a young guy and he wants to set the world on fire and come in and make a huge impact right away. You just have to be patient when you're a young guy like Marco Gonzalez. And also the other aspect of it, he's had enough time coming off this injury, and he put up some really good numbers. He was up there on the radar when it came to prospects before the injury. He's had enough time to settle in after that Tommy John surgery and figure out what feels good and what their game plan is. And again, has he got good enough stuff? Absolutely. I just don't want to see, we saw it today, runners on. You know, I want him to stay aggressive. Don't try and, you know, expand the zone too much and fall into those dreaded 2-0 counts. We saw that a couple of times today. He's got that good changeup. He can throw it for a strike. If he trusts that, I think he's going to be really effective at this level.
All right, to me, that feels like the absolute hardest thing to do mentally, and that is if you join a team,
yes,
especially in a race, especially on a day like this where you're facing the team where it's direct competition, man, that seems like the most difficult thing to do as a pitcher than to try – you know, try and stay within yourself and not do too much in that kind of circumstance.
Well, it's tough enough. Look, he's still, he's pitching the big leagues. But to me, today for him would have felt like, you know, his major league debut for a lot of reasons. And you pointed him out, and I didn't want to, you know, harp on that too much. But when you come up as a rookie and you're filling in to be a mop-up guy or whatever in the bullpen, you want to act like you belong. You want to be a part of the team and the clubhouse and the chemistry and everything else, let alone him coming into, like you said, into this race. And there's been this big hype. You get traded over from another team. They give up a good young prospect. And, you know, there's always the extra pressure because you don't want to give up one of your guys, you know, in order to take a gamble on someone like Marco Gonzalez, and then he comes in this environment. So it was tough. And again, that's why as we watch him progress in these next couple starts, and hopefully he settles in and just stays away from that feeling of having to just light it up and go eight shutout every time. That's not going to happen. We know that. Settle in and just continue being aggressive. Don't feel like you've got to be perfect, especially 1-0 pitches, 2-0 pitches. Yeah, throw that really good changeup. It's a good one. Don't be afraid to throw it in hitters' counts, and I think he'll be good to go.
So right now, though, let's hear from the skipper. Here's Scott Servais.
You know, we needed to get on him early. You know, we had some chances there in the first inning, and then, broke through from one in the second. But, emotional game, first game, we hung on, guys were fired up. You know, you have to continue and carry it right in the second game. We just didn't get enough going on early on, and then, you know, they put some good swings on Ramirez. So the middle of their lineup, we could not keep under control. Did a pretty good job in this series until the last game. You know, they got their hits and drove in runs. They're good. You know, they got it going, and we just couldn't stop them.
With Erasmo, what was it today?
You know, he had the two out, nobody on in the third inning, and then, you know, a home run, hit, another home run. You look up, it's a four spot. So made some mistakes with the fastball. Didn't get it in good spots on the plate, too much of the plate. You know, that was probably the downfall. And once he got going, the changeup, you know, the changeup's a big part of his game, and really didn't get that going at that point in the game and led to the four runs.
Anything new on Phil?
You know, just it is a elbow issue. You know, I don't know a ton more about it. You know, probably fly back. We'll get it looked at there and see where it's at there. I don't think it's like, I don't know if it's a DL. I don't know yet, you know, where it's at there. So we'll know more. Obviously, we'll have off day tomorrow. We'll know more probably at some point tomorrow, and certainly heading into the Oakland series.
To still get a split of the series, I mean, it's four games. It's a tough place to play. You got to take that.
No doubt. You know, I think, you know, we want to win every series. That's the goal is. But, you know, on this road trip, especially coming in here, Kansas City's been playing very well. It was going to be a challenge. But I thought our guys competed very well. It was huge to get off to the big start early in the first game today. And then our bullpen, you know, chipped in. And second game, it was going to be, you know, we needed to have, you know, the big run, big inning early to keep it going. But, you know, come in here, win into it out of the four. You know, it's okay. You'd like to win three, certainly after the first win today. But we'll take it. Off day tomorrow and get after it over in Oakland.
What did you see from the Junis Kansas?
You know, he had breaking ball going. You know, hard to tell if those balls are on the plate. There was a few called third strikes that got a little wide early in the game on the backdoor breaking ball. But you know, I got to give him credit. You know, he threw strikes. But we, you know, anytime starting pitcher, certainly a guy just got called up for the game. You want to get on him early, and we just didn't take advantage of enough early on.
You went out after the Espinoza throwing error there.
Yeah, I thought that was clearly the base runner tried to interfere with the throw. You know, and got out of the base line or, you know, base path, and confused on what the umpire was trying to explain to me there. He went a couple different routes with it, but I thought it was, you know, he clearly, you know, looked to interfere with the play, and, you know, which is, you know, it's a heads-up base running play. I don't know how allowable it is, but he got away with it.
The long-term really downside to today, and that's Phelps. He has been so good putting that bullpen together. And leaves today with some sort of elbow injury, just pitches a third of an inning. And, Ryan, that could be long-term really unfortunate for the Mariners.
Yeah, that was a tough one, watching that. And just the reaction, too. Obviously, yeah, when you see a pitcher call out a trainer or a manager, you know it's not something small. You know, right. It's not something where, hey, I'm going to try and battle through this because there's just a little bit of discomfort. There's obviously something there. We're probably going to see a DL stint, but it was so nice having David Phelps come over, and you know, you could start mixing and matching in that bullpen. You could go to the bullpen earlier because, you know, you could go righty, lefty, righty in those you know, tough spots earlier on in the game. So yeah, this is a tough one, and they've relied heavily on that bullpen holding those leads. They've been so good this year, so it's going to be interesting to see you know, how this unfolds, obviously, with you know, wishing him all the best. And you can even see it to a obviously a lot short-term expense it was on the Mariners when Phelps came out. Next thing you know, they're using the entire bullpen to mix and match. You know, even today in one game.
It's a perfect
game
example.
A doubleheader.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that just goes to show when, you know, when you go beyond David Phelps, you got to look at guys just to mix and match, you know, guys that you trust and everything else. So
yeah,
it's a tough one.
It's a deep pen with him. I mean, they used Zick in the sixth today with the lead. I mean, five different guys got holds, which tells you how many different guys the Wins hands went through with that many pitchers taking the mound. Let's hear from Phelps what he had to say about what happened.
The last couple times out, just really haven't, you know, gotten loose like I have in the past. As far as like getting loose on the bullpen, fine. And as soon as I get in the game, they're just a little tight. You know, I can tell the ball's not coming out. Stuff hasn't really been the same. And, you know, just figure, I mean, in the past, I've pitched through things until I broke my arm. So, thought it was better to, you know, let them come out. You know, training staff's known about it. We've been, you know, treating it and just get up and see the doc, see what he has to say.
Did you feel something you hadn't felt before? Then?
No, there was no pop, nothing like that. It was the last time out, I think, after the outing in Texas, just, you know, there's just tightness in the back. I mean, nothing really down in the meat of the elbow, just, you know, more like in the bone, really. I mean, nothing, not really that concerned about it. Just, I mean, your body will tell you when, you know, something's not right. I think it's more or less what I felt.
Very decisive about that at the time, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, there's radar guns all over the stadium. I look up and I see him throwing 90 miles an hour when I know the ball's not coming out. You know, that last pitch there, I was, you know, I'm going to stand on this one a little bit, and, you know, that's that. It's at that, like, extension that, you know, when I felt it. So, you know, see what the doc has to say about it, and we'll go from there.
Nothing like you said before in your past?
No. Mm-mm. I mean, I've had, you know, pretty a litany of elbow injuries. I mean, nothing, you know, things that have, you know, forced me to not throw. You know, I've been playing catch. I've been warm up in the bullpen. Like, my command's still there. It's just a matter of I can tell the ball's not coming out the way I want it to right now, and it's, you know, where we're at as a team right now. I figure it's, you know, better to nip it in the bud than, you know, try and go out and be a hero and cost us some games.
You going back to Seattle?
I'm going to go see the doctor tomorrow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you feel throughout the year bad, or is it just on
hand? I mean, it's one of those things that's just never fully felt loose. Like, I mean, I'm conscious of it back there. But, like I said, there was no pop, no real acute thing. It's just kind of something that, you know, just didn't really go away.
Yeah, and I think we all get nervous when you hear elbow. I mean, the good thing is you don't hear pop or anything like that, and it's also good that they sound proactive instead of letting it get worse and worse and worse, which can lead to something much worse.
Yeah, and yeah, you heard him talk about a couple things that, you know, wanted to bring up. He said, you know, they've been treating it. So once he waved towards the dugout, they obviously knew, and they probably had that conversation saying, if you feel anything, let us know, because, you know, David Phelps at 70% is going to be ineffective. And he admitted that. He said that him going out there trying to be a hero and throwing 90 miles per hour is not going to get the job done. But this is one of the, he talks about getting, you know, trying to get loose. And this start, you wake up, anytime you've got some sort of discomfort or whatever going on in your arm, it plays on your mind that much. You wake up in the morning, you start messing with your elbow, with your index finger and your thumb, and you get in there and you're trying to create some sort of relief. And then when you go play catch, every throw, you're monitoring how it feels. And it's really tough. And he said, just not being able to get loose. Basically, no matter what you do, when your heart rate gets up and you feel like once you get loose, you can pitch through anything, that stiffness just doesn't go away. It's going to, you know, translate into his results. So that's a tough one, you know. But it's obviously been something that's, you know, been there for, you know, for a little bit. They've been treating it. So again, him going out and, hey, pitch through it, man. Yeah, that attitude is going to do nothing but be right. Counterproductive for this team. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you look at the big picture now in terms of this race. You've got the Yankees. We'll go through a longer scoreboard in a few minutes. But Yankees on top with the first wild card. You have the Royals with the second. Tampa a half game back. The Mariners 1.5 back of Kansas City. They have to leap over Tampa. So, Ryan, this sets up a pretty big stretch here for the Mariners coming up. And a stretch where it looks like on paper they can take advantage of. They have the A's for 2 on the road. Then they come home for the only homestand during the month.
Yeah.
4 against the Angels, 3 against Baltimore, another off day, and then a huge road trip the rest of the month, and 2 of the series, 1 against Tampa, 1 against the Yankees, teams directly above them. This is a big stretch of baseball, but in the short term, a chance to really take advantage with 2 games against Oakland and then the homestand.
Yeah, and this next couple series coming up, I feel like they're on that hamster wheel. Like, they just hover around 500,
yeah,
or they hover a game or two back. You know, even this series, for example, splitting this series. You know, going into this one, you know, we all wanted them to come out and take, if they could take 3 or 4, all of a sudden that starts to, you know, create some turbulence in that wild card game, and they're there. If the season was to finish, look, hey, we're in the playoffs. So I feel like they're on that hamster wheel right now where they've been through some serious injuries early on in this season, and they're hovering right around 500 and not able to gain any ground. But if you look week after week, they're always right there. So it's going to be interesting this next, you know, stretch, this homestand, this seven-day homestand where they come in hang out with the family for a couple of days and straight back on the road.
Which is, no.
You know what's crazy about that? I don't ever remember playing a four-city road trip. It's Max has always been three. It's interesting how they got stuck with that that schedule. But pitching, it's going to come down to pitching. That's going to determine what happens with this team. And we all know that. It's been tough the last couple of days. You lose Felix. You lose David Phelps, two key pieces in that starting rotation, that bullpen. So they're going to have to somehow figure something out pitching-wise, because I truly believe it's going to come down to that. And they've got some big series coming up with the Yankees and Tampa Bay down the stretch. But here's a chance, going to Oakland, just take two games. Let's get away from this, playing 500 everywhere you go and everything else. Take two games there. Come and get three or four of Anaheim and go into that road trip full of confidence and try and put some series wins together on the road again.
This is The Week That Was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week
on Mariners Magazine.
Here's a swing and a line drive into right field. Martin on the run. Slides, tumbles, and he makes the catch. Welcome back, Leonis Martin, just up from Tacoma. Gets the throw into second base, so the runners have to stay. Curtis Granderson robbed on a great diving, rolling catch by Martin, getting the start in right field. There's the pitch to Martin, swinging a drive deep to right field. Holy smokes, welcome back, and this one is off the windows of the Hit It Here Cafe. Leonis Martin, a great diving catch in the top of the second. A long solo home run here in the bottom of the second inning. Goodbye, baseball. His first home run of the year.
That was a really exciting moment for me, and it was a little bit excited too, being a long time not playing in the minor league, and I was trying to keep calm a little bit, and things got, I put a good swing on in my feather bat, and really excited, especially we get the win.
Here is the stretch, and again the 0-2 to Darno, and a swing and a miss for strike three, and that will retire the side. Strikeout number four for Big Maple, and they're on their feet again up there in Maple Grove.
I mean, it's pretty cool. Things have been going really well. Great defense behind me, getting runs scored. Can't do it without the guys that are playing behind me scoring runs and doing their job too. And today I got some great defense again. Leonis came back and he made that play out in right field. Throw by Dyson in the first inning. That's stuff like that helps you win baseball games.
And here he is, third baseman Adrian Beltre. How about this, folks? Felix Hernandez walking in off the mound, walking up to home plate. All the way up to Adrian Beltre. He's just giving his good buddy a hug. Phelps ready, the windup, and the 0-2 pitch. Fastball, strike three called, and David Phelps strikes out the side here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Jose would have been 25 today. And, I was thinking in my hotel room earlier, I was like, just be out there with me today. And I guess I just tried to channel my inner Jose, and it was a special day. I mean, for me, for a lot of the guys that were down there with him, and just tried to go out there and pitch like he would.
And the 0-1 pitch, the Mazzara swing and a line drive into center field. Dyson coming up, can't get to it. He has to play it on a hop. Running second to Shields, heading for third. The throw to Seager, and out at third base is to Shields. Holy smoke, what a throw by Gerard Dyson.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a soft loop into the gap into right center field. And for a base hit, Zunino coming into third base, getting the wave in. Mike Zunino crosses home. The Mariners get their sixth run of the night. Gerard Dyson's second hit this evening. It pushes Espinosa into third base. And Gerard Dyson has made it 6-3 Mariners.
The 3-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three with a slider. And the ball game is over. The Mariners hang on and they win it tonight. 8-7 over the Rangers, and they take the opening two games of this road trip. But first of all, how about this ovation for Gerard Dyson from the fans here at Kauffman Stadium? A standing ovation. Gerard takes his helmet off, tips it to the crowd. Listen to the ovation here at Kauffman Stadium. And the 1-2 pitch. pitch. Breaking ball swing and a line drive down the right field line. A fair ball in toward the corner. Here comes double number 500 up with the ball. Bonifacio, the throw in, is cut off by the second baseman, Merrifield. Around to third goes Gene Segura and Robbie Cano. Welcome to the 500 double club.
Well, it's mean a lot to me. I mean, it's a good accomplishment. You know, I know I got a lot of years left for me, and then I just got to keep playing. I mean, thank God that I get that out of my shoulder and keep playing again, and let's see if we win the game tonight.
Paxton ready to go. Hits the sign. Looks in, now deals. Swing and a miss for strike three. A slider finishes off Hosmer. That is the biggest strikeout tonight for James Paxton.